There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
Hi, folks. This is Olima, and I don't know the status of Dutch right now. And I just thought maybe it's the Holy Spirit. But I just thought that maybe I should do a recording and post it. So I think I will talk about tomorrow is a feast day. I was just talking to the priest at my church today. And tomorrow is a major feast day. So, I thought I would read from a book that has, it's called Lesser Feasts and Fasts, and it has to do with the feast day tomorrow. There isn't somebody assigned for the 24th, but there is somebody assigned for the 25th, so, well, it's the Annunciation. Anyway, there's a painting by, you know what, I can't even remember the name of it, but there is a very famous painting of the Annunciation that I totally love, and, so I thought I'd read some, from the Common Book of from Lesser Feasts and Fasts. That's what the book I'm reading from is, and this is, because tomorrow's a feast day for the Annunciation. Today's feast commemorates how God made known to a young Jewish woman that she was to be the mother of his son, and how Mary accepted her vocation with perfect conformity of will. It has been said, God made us without us, and redeemed us without us, but cannot save us without us. Unquote. Mary's assent to Gabriel's message opened the way for God to accomplish the salvation of the world. It is for this reason that all generations are to call her blessed. The Annunciation has been a major theme in Christian art in both East and West. Innumerable sermons and poems have been composed about it. The term coined by Cyril of Jerusalem for the Blessed Virgin, Theotokos, the God-bearer, was affirmed by the General Council of Ephesus in 451. Mary's offering in response to God's call has been compared to that of Abraham, the father of believers. Just as Abraham was called to be the father of the chosen people and accepted his call, so Mary was called to be the mother of the faithful and the new Israel. She is God's human agent in the mystery of the incarnation. Her response to the angel, "Let it be to me according to your word," is identical with the faith expressed in the prayer that Jesus taught, quote, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," unquote. Gerard Manley Hopkins compared Mary to the air we breathe, writes, quote, "Wild air, world-mothering air, of her flesh he took flesh. He does take fresh and fresh, though much the mystery how, not flesh but spirit now, and makes, oh marvelous, new Nazareths in us, where she shall yet conceive him morning, noon, and eve, new Bethlehems, and he born there, evening, noon, and morn." Okay, that's the end of the reading from Lesser Feasts and Fasts. And now there's a prayer associated with that, with this feast. "We beseech thee, O Lord, pour thy grace into our hearts, that we who have known the incarnation of thy Son, Jesus Christ, announced by an angel to the Virgin Mary, may by his cross and passion be brought into the glory of his resurrection, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen." Okay. Well, yes, it's Lent, and, okay, I guess I'll read also about the Annunciation. I'll read to you from, there's another book called, that talks about the feast days, and, it's titled Brightest and Best, A Companion to Lesser Feasts and Fasts, and it's by Sam Portaro. And for this feast day, for the Annunciation, it reads, "Signs and wonders make us uncomfortable and challenge our confidence in what we hold to be fact. Though, of course, even what we hold as fact is always subject to being revealed a fiction. So, there is something about the story of Ahaz that touches our own experience," and Ahaz is spelled A-H-A-Z. "Even when God's prophet Isaiah asks him for a sign, Ahaz declines. For his humility is abraded. Quote, all right, unquote, God replies to Ahaz, quote, if you won't ask for a sign, I'll give you one anyway, unquote. Ahaz seems properly deferential, even devoted in his demurral. After all, Scripture adjures us to refrain from testing God, but it is one thing to test God, and yet another to shy from God's offer to engage our life. God attempts to initiate conversation with Ahaz, to which Ahaz in effect replies, quote, thank you, but if it's all the same to you, I'd rather not, unquote. The Annunciation is given as a proclamation. A meek and somewhat inexperienced woman is visited by an angel who announces that she is about to conceive and bear the child of God. consummation of this conception will be carried out through the offices of the Holy Spirit. The woman is compliant, even grateful, for this intrusion into her life and body. But in the conversation between Mary and Gabriel, there are echoes of an earlier conversation between Ahaz and God's prophet. The angel greets Mary with the assurance that she is respected and that God is with her. But she, like Ahaz, is wary. Hearing the angel's somewhat effusive greeting, Mary is deeply troubled and wonders what this greeting might mean. Suggesting that Mary was not nearly so naive and inexperienced as we might have believed. She has obviously been around the block a few times and certainly knows that, wings and glistening raiment aside, a line is still a line, and conversations that begin as that one did can lead to pretty strange, even disastrous consequences. So the Annunciation was not an announcement after all. It was the beginning of a conversation, and that is a different proposition altogether. What we see in these exchanges between Ahaz and God's prophet and Mary and God's angel is a painful attempt at conversation. And God seems clumsy at this business of social intercourse. God does not do light banter and polite chit-chat, so Gabriel sounds like a grade B movie thug, and Isaiah delivers God's message with an impatient pushiness. Is God really so awkward as we meet Ahaz's reluctance with a brisk, "Oh, just take the sign away, take the sign anyway," or to greet the dubious Mary with, "Hi, you're a terrific woman, and I've chosen you to have my baby." God is certainly straightforward and blunt, especially for the kind of intimate and personal engagement experienced by Ahaz and Mary. And both Mary and Ahaz are right to be cautious with such invitations to engagement. Conversation is a dangerous business. It can change your life. Look at Mary and Ahaz. Neither was the same after their talks with God. Neither was God. The angel's conversation with Mary is the last blunt angelic intrusion in the scriptural narrative. Only an occasional voice is heard thereafter. Even God seems to have honed the social graces and realized that there must be a better way to enter the conversation than by playing awkward games with prophets and kings and sending intimidating angels crashing into other people's lives. After Mary, we have the word, and fewer words. God enters the conversation at our level in a helpless and vulnerable infant who grew up into a precocious but thoughtful child who grew into a gentle, even taciturn man who said very little but cared on the most intimate of conversations in a life open for all to see. No more annunciations, only conversation. And a child born not as a sign or wonder, but as invitation to intimacy, opening a conversation with power to change us all. Thought-provoking, to say the least, but I don't know if I agree with the author completely there. I suppose I could read some from the story of the Annunciation. what it says. Yeah, that's pretty miraculous what happened with Mary. And lately I've had a lot of miracles happen in my life. A lot of weird miracles. The miracle of Mary conceiving and an angel even appearing to her is pretty profound to me. Anyway, let's see what the scriptures say about Mary and the... Okay. Okay, I'm going to pause it. Because... Okay, I'm back. I found it. It's in Luke chapter 1 in verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her, and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored! The Lord is with thee! Blessed art thou among women! And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come unto thee, shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Wow, that's pretty intense. I have to say, the scriptures are so powerful. And they are just pretty amazing. And maybe I should read some more. I really like reading, especially out loud. I enjoy reading out loud. And for all the listeners out there who are Dutch Jones listeners, anyway, I hope Dutch is feeling better, and you know what? Maybe I should pray with you all for Dutch. Because he's such an important person. And I think for so many of us. And my service in recording his broadcasts is something I feel is a calling for me to do right now in my life. And so I do. And I believe the message that Dutch shares with everyone is really, really, really important in our times, in the seasons of this world right now. And I hope everyone who listens to him is awakening to the profound freedom that America is about, and the freedom that God gives us. And the salvation that God gives us through his son Jesus. I'm an Episcopalian, and what does that mean? My faith is, you know what, everybody's faith is a little bit different, but, I think the message of Jesus is clear, as we read the scriptures, as we read his sermons to us. His teachings to us. Actually, that was really meaningful. Not the conversation quotes, but the other ones about Jesus taught us so much about faith. And about believing. And that his words had so much power too. He said, Jesus told us, that our words, that we will do greater than he did. I think it speaks something of our faith that is to come for all of us. Of believing in the kingdom come, the kingdom that is to come, that God is the sovereign over our nation, his sovereignty. He rules over this nation. He rules over our planet. He rules over the entire universe. And that his kingdom is now come. Anyway, and in that coming, we're told in Scripture too that a time will come when there will be, when time will be no more. And I would say that now is that time too. And that the second coming is now. And that we have to see it. And that we are seeing it now in the world around us. We're seeing God's rule in the world around us. And I think in the miracles that we witness by our faith, that his kingdom is coming and is here too now. Anyway, we should pray for Dutch. God, Father of all, we lift up your servant Dutch, and we bless him with healing and wholeness in body and in spirit. Bless him with renewed strength and life. And that his message, that your message, God, through him, will continue to be poured out to the nations. And through all the associated ministries of his work and of all your works, God, let them be poured out. Let your message be poured out. God, you promise in the book of Revelation that your living water feeding the tree of life, that its leaves will heal the nations in the New Jerusalem. Let that water pour forth. Let that healing take place now. Rule, God, now with your kingdom come. That there will be eternal peace here in our land and in every land. be healing everywhere. We praise you, God, for the miracles that you have poured into our lives, for the living water that has entered us into us through your Son. And these things we pray in the name of Jesus.